From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Adeline Baxter with this local and statewide news update. On Thursday, the City and Borough of Juneau reported that 4 more Juneau residents and 1 non-resident have tested positive for COVID-19. According to the city's public health department, 1 person picked it up through community spread, 2 people picked it up from people who have already tested positive, and the other 2 are still being investigated. The non-resident works in the mining industry. So far, Juneau has had 894 residents test positive and 116 non-residents. There are currently 32 people considered to have active cases of the virus. State health officials reported Thursday that 366 new people tested positive for COVID-19 statewide, and 2 more people died, a woman and a man from Anchorage. Since the beginning of the pandemic, at least 182 Alaskans have died from the virus. The Environmental Protection Agency has fined Crowley Fuels of Alaska more than $1.3 million for violations related to several gasoline bulk fuel storage tanks in Palmer and Southeast Alaska. The federal regulator says it estimates that in Juneau alone, some 110,000 pounds of excess gasoline vapors escaped from a tank farm in 2018. Other storage tanks in Palmer, Ketchikan, and a gas station in Douglas also lacked proper vapor controls to prevent fumes from leaking into the atmosphere. EPA regional spokesman Bill Dunbar in Seattle says the fuel company faced more than $5 million in fines under the Clean Air Act and other statutes. It also failed to follow reporting requirements.
And we found that it was in a significant enough quantity that we needed to assess the significant penalty. And at the same time, they disclosed that they had not adequately informed local community of the presence of some of these, what we call hazardous air pollutants, nor had they disclosed when releases had occurred.
The EPA and the Florida-based fuel company ultimately settled for $1.3 million last month. Dunbar says benzene contained in gasoline vapors is known to cause cancer.
But there are any number of constituent volatile organic compounds that are in gasoline and petroleum products that are dangerous to people.
In a statement, Crowley Fuels admitted to a, quote, misinterpretation of certain regulations, end quote, but notes the company has taken action to resolve issues with its gasoline storage tanks in Juneau, Douglas, Ketchikan, and Palmer. Federal crash aviation investigators have released a trove of information on Unalaska's fatal plane crash last year. It points to a possible mechanical fault in the Pan Air Saab 2000 turboprop. But as KUCB's Zoe Sobel reports, airline pilots told investigators of an eroding safety culture at the now-defunct airline.
It was a blustery fall day at Tom Madsen Airport. A Pan Air flight from Anchorage was making its second attempt to land in Unalaska. Gusting tailwinds made the landing extra challenging. As the plane touched down, it failed to slow down, broke through the airport's chain-link fence, crossed a road, and hit a rocky embankment just short of the frigid waters of Iluluk Bay. Steve Rainey was among the 39 passengers on Flight 3296. He's a commercial pilot with 20 years' experience, and he's still trying to understand what went wrong that day.
I just don't think that we can just flat accept that there's going to be accidents like this. I think that's really one of the more important things. I know people make mistakes, but the air carrier world, these things should not happen. This shouldn't have happened at all.
Rainey is still recovering from his injuries. A passenger to his left fared much worse. 38-year-old David Altman was fatally injured in the crash. There were at least 9 people hurt. Rainey was traveling with his son, who was competing with the Cordova School swim team. He says he's grateful the students escaped serious injuries.
Hey, I'll take the hit for the boys.
On Wednesday, the National Transportation Safety Board released more than 2,000 pages of documents related to the crash. Rainey has already begun to comb through these files.
A lot of people really get frustrated with how long it takes, but I'm actually kind of surprised at how much information they've gotten and how close it is to wrapping up.
Here's what the federal investigators initially found. A faulty wiring job may have kept an anti-skid device from working properly, and that could have contributed to the plane overshooting the tarmac. but they also heard from Penn Air pilots concerned that the airline was reducing the amount of experience its pilots needed to land on Unalaska's notoriously challenging runway. Penn Air historically required pilots to have a minimum of 300 hours in a Saab 2000 before they could captain a flight to Unalaska. But after the Siebert family sold the airline to Raven Air Group in 2018, that rule was being reviewed. In fact, NTSB investigators were told by Penn Air pilots that in early summer 2019, a conversation was held where the chief pilot and Raven vice president of flight operations discussed relaxing that rule. The captain of Flight 3296 had been flying into Unalaska for about 3 months. On the day of the crash, he had logged 131 hours in a Saab 2000. That's less than half the historical requirement for Penn Air pilots responsible for bringing flights into the Aleutian city. His first officer had a few more hours. Both had been hired by the company in May of that year. The NTSB's investigation describes the airline's safety culture following Penn Air's sale to Raven Air Group. Raven's safety director told investigators he considered the overall safety culture as, quote, still good, but admitted that pilots had approached him saying they were, quote, not as comfortable anymore, speaking freely about their concerns. So, what happens now? Now that fact-finding is mostly complete, NTSB's Clint Johnson in Anchorage says investigators hope to wrap up their work within the next year.
The analysis portion is crunching all the information that we have here and ultimately driving towards a probable cause and an analysis, and also, most importantly, probably recommendations that will come out of this accident investigation to keep it from happening again.
The five presidentially appointed members of the National Transportation Safety Board may vote to hold a public meeting to review this investigation and determine a probable cause for the accident. Most accidents don't have board meetings. The last time this happened for an Alaska investigation was for a fatal Togiak crash from 2016, operated by another Raven Air Group subsidiary. Johnson says board meetings are similar to a court hearing.
Each one of the investigators, each one of the disciplines are questioned by the board members. At the end of that process, the board members right there in the board meeting will determine probable cause.
Penn Air is no longer flying. Its parent airline, Raven Air Group, declared bankruptcy in April and sold its assets this summer. A Southern California commuter airline bought some of its planes and two of the operating certificates. The company resurrected the name Raven Alaska and rehired some of its crew. Last month, it resumed scheduled flights to Unalaska under new ownership, but with the same old name. In Unalaska, I'm Zoe Sobel.
The cancellation of this year's cruise ship season has been a boon for marine mammals in one of Alaska's most protected destinations. As Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick reports, federal scientists say humpback whales are enjoying the relative calm in Glacier Bay National Park and Preserve.
This is what a cruise ship in Southeast Alaska's Glacier Bay sounds like underwater. NPS wildlife biologist Christine Gabriel says the national park normally gets more than 600,000 visitors each year.
Most of those on cruise ships. And 2020 presented a unique opportunity because the cruise ships and tour boats were absent.
She was a panelist at a recent meeting of the American Geophysical Union. This year, she's been recording underwater sound at the mouth and middle of Glacier Bay to make recordings and also record any changes in whale behavior, which there were.
We saw them out in the middle of the channels, taking naps, socializing, feeding with others. Also on the hydrophone, I heard a lot of long exchanges between the whales, including what I think may have been a mother and calf.
As the coronavirus has forced people to socially distance, she says for marine mammals, it's been the opposite.
It's like this horrible pandemic confined us humans into really small spaces, but gave the whales back a lot of room to roam, both physically and acoustically.
The recordings are on Glacier Bay's website. They also include pods of orcas, harbor seals, and other marine life. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
And a reminder, the National Weather Service has issued a winter storm warning for the Juneau area. It remains in effect until 4 p.m. Friday. Heavy snow is expected with total snow accumulations of 8 to 13 inches. That's the latest from the KTOO Newsroom. For more local and statewide news, go to ktoo.org. I'm Adeline Baxter.